This past week, Lutheran pastor Nadia Boltz-Weber posted her sermon for today, and it started like this. Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. We are gathered here today to seek the voice of our God, to fill our ears with the sounds of praise and petition. And her sermon continues on about life, reconciliation, and resurrection. I highly recommend it to you. My sermon direction today is somewhat different, but I am going to repeat, yet this time acknowledge, that these are also the opening lyrics to the song Let's Go Crazy by Prince, a Minnesotan musician who unfortunately passed away this week. Quote, and I do not sing, so just quote. Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Because in this life, there are things much harder than the afterworld. In this life, you're on your own. And if the elevator tries to bring you down, go crazy. Punch a higher floor. If you don't like the world you're living in, take a look around you. At least you got friends, unquote. Last week in John's Gospel, Jesus reminded his disciples, where I am going, you cannot come. But you should love one another, even though I am not there to constantly remind you about what my Father and I have been trying to teach you. And in our Gospel reading today, this is exactly what Jesus is trying to teach his friends again. He's running out of time. To his disciples in the community that was growing around his teachings, Jesus was trying to make his friends look around to realize the possibilities. I am not leaving you alone. Quote, you've got friends who love you, unquote. And I will always love you. The gospel continues. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, Holy Wisdom, that little tiny voice that sometimes comes out loud and clear when we least expect it, or sometimes when we really don't want to hear it. The Holy Spirit will soon be present to the disciples and available to teach these people, to remind the disciples and those of his followers of God's great commandment, to love one another as we love ourselves, and that there is great peace in that love. There is great peace in finding that love in ourselves. There is great peace in experiencing that love. But why would you believe me? Why would you possibly even believe a manuscript that was written 1,000 years ago? Perhaps holy wisdom should be heard from someone else other than someone with a collar. I have asked some members of our faith community to invite you into their experiences with that peace, with that witness, that understanding of community.
All righty. My name is Eleanor. I go to Washburn High School, and I'm in the 10th grade. Now, I want everyone to close your eyes, just so I don't feel self-conscious. It's all good. Now, with your eyes closed, imagine being surrounded by cold air. Air so cold, it burns your skin, crackles in your lungs. So cold, your fingers and toes are past the point of moving. Keeping your eyes closed, you can smell pine trees and the fresh, clean smell of snow. No smells of the city, no garbage or exhaust, only pure air moving in and out. Underneath all the layers of clothes, you can feel soft snow shifting when you move. Listening, you hear the crunch of snow and ice, the creaking of branches in the wind, and the soft padding of feet on top of snow. When you open your eyes, it is dark out, but thousands of stars light up the sky above you, illuminating the trees and reflecting off the snow around you. There is no one around you from any town, or city, or civilization. Instead of panicking, you're calm. Beyond all that, you can sense. You feel something that is almost as if it is hidden behind a screen. You know it's there, but you can't see it. Unseen, but felt. The presence of a universe, or something just as big and strange. Unknown and untouched. Alien, but familiar. As if experienced through a different sense, when the boundary between you and the divine is thin. Okay, you can open your eyes now. I gained some self-confidence. On February 12, 2016, four very brave adults took two vans full of teenagers to the Boundary Waters, away from the city, from the busyness of life, to find fun and experience a thin place, to both learn and experience being closer to God. While this whole trip could be considered an excuse to bring a bunch of kids into nature and infect their thoughts and minds with the addiction that is pure, barely touched nature, I won't actually say that it was. It was a legitimate and valuable experience. Personally, I thought it was awesome. I've never really been sure where I stand in my relationship with God, but this is perfectly okay because I'm on my own path. And when I stand in the middle of nowhere, the wilderness, I get this feeling that I've never been fully able to describe. But Nancy Wayne Newhall said, "The wilderness holds the answers to more questions that we have not yet learned to ask." And I believe this to be true. The Bible says, "I do not give to you as the world gives." The world is there to teach and remind us of what we have forgotten and all that Jesus has taught us. We just have to go find it. Your own thin place, whether it be at the top of a mountain, bottom of the sea, or in your own basement, is yours to go find.
Good morning. Good morning. My name is Saga. I am in 8th grade, and I go to New City School. Last summer, I went to Episcopal Youth Equestrian. I had a lot of fun, and I made a lot of new friends. When I arrived, I knew no one there except for one person. By the end of the week, all the campers were like brothers and sisters. It shocked me how I almost knew some of those people like I knew my best friends. It shocked me how I fast got to know those people and how willing they were to open up to me. At first, I was nervous to go, but after I went, I was glad that I did. Episcopal Youth Quest Camp was one of the highlights of my summer, and I plan to return next summer. Thank you.
Hello.
That was exciting. Try it again.
Hello. My name is Anya, and I'm a junior at Patrick Henry High School. I'm here to talk about how Episcopal Youth Music Camp has affected my relationship with God and why it is important. I first went to Episcopal Youth Music Camp when I was 8 years old. Before going to camp, I didn't know what God's love really was. When I came home from music camp, I knew how much God loved me and all of his children. In today's gospel, Jesus is talking about love. The love we call agape. For those who do not know what agape is, it is unconditional love. God's love is unconditional. And that is exactly how those at music camp love you. Music camp is a week full of fun, music, adventures, new people, and about building a relationship with God. Episcopal Youth Music Camp was the first place that I really felt God's love. Episcopal Youth Music Camp was the first place I found God. There's just something about a community that loves God and loves music coming together. Music camp and the people there helped me learn about God's love and to love those around me just the same as I love myself. There's just something so magical about music camp. If my mother had not sent me to music camp, I would never have met one of my best friends, Helena. I always get so excited before going to music camp that I don't sleep the night before. And I always cry when I come home. Leading music camp is so hard and emotional. If I had not gone to music camp, I wouldn't be who I am today. This is exactly why I think music camp is so important to our faith community.
Good morning. My name is Claire. I go to Champlain Park High School, and I am in 11th grade. For me, church has always been a huge part of my life. Don't get me wrong, I've always loved going to Sunday school and youth group and all of that kind of stuff. But it wasn't until I was in about 5th grade that I truly felt God's love. In the summer of 5th grade, I decided to start going to a program called Episcopal Youth Music Camp. And that was probably one of the best decisions I've ever made. When I got to music camp, I was surrounded with people who were just so excited to be there and that I was there with them, and I had never experienced something like that before. Even after those first few years of camp, I didn't know that what I was feeling was the Holy Spirit. Throughout the years, I continued to go to music camp, and I loved it more than anything. It's always been my favorite week of the year. The only thing that kind of stinks about it is that you have to leave all of the people who you created bonds with over the week, knowing that you most likely won't see them again for another year. So because of that, when I learned that many people from music camp also go to Tech, I jumped at the opportunity to go. Tech stands for Teens Encounter Christ. It is a weekend retreat where a bunch of teenagers from different Episcopal churches get together at St. John's to share unconditional love with one another. And of course, I went and I loved it. But it wasn't until Spring Tech last year that I realized that I had felt the Holy Spirit. On my way back home from Tech, I realized that every time I go to Tech, I get a feeling of exceptional warmth and happiness. And I've never been one of those people who think everything is extraterrestrial. But I know that whenever I feel this, I am in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Whenever I go to Tech, I feel as if I'm at home. Not like my real physical home, but God's home, where we are all joined together by His love. Even though I know when we're apart, I will miss this love, I know that it will always come back.
Hi. My name is Kate. I'm a homeschool junior. The first time I went to White Earth Native American Reservation 4 years ago, things did not go quite as planned. After months of preparing, we arrived with our St. Mark's youth group at the reservation and were surprisingly, but nicely, told that a few complications had come up and the jobs that we had come to do were basically non-existent. Now, I know I'm supposed to talk about a youth group mission here, but this is already really starting to sound a lot like life. But, not to worry, our intrepid youth minister, Stacy, and the youth minister from Stillwater talked to some people on the reservation, and of course, there were tasks that needed to be done. Well, being the young, open-minded, young Episcopalians that we were, our group's mindset changed from, "We came up here to do this, this, and that," to "go with the flow and keep our minds open for anything" attitude. And soon enough, we were rolling on our first White Earth trip. We helped where we were needed, but for me, the trip that first year was really about joining in amongst the life of White Earth. I learned a lot more than I knew beforehand about the harsh history of the Native Americans and the large part our ancestors played into their devastation. Still, though, what ended up sticking in my mind after that first trip was that I met a bunch of really special people, one of whom was a storyteller. Another person, a friend of the storyteller, played the drum for us and told us about its relation to the earth and their history. We also shared meals with a few others. In short, we helped them with the work they needed done, and they, in turn, shared their tranquil and peaceful land and their goodness. After the positive experience I had the first year, I was really happy to be able to go back to White Earth to work the year after and the year after that. Over the years, and in between the frosts, I was working and meeting even more people and enjoying seeing old faces. It was as if some of the people of White Earth were saying, hey, those folks from St. Mark's aren't half bad. Maybe we should accept them or even embrace them. But in going beyond the genuine warmth of some of the people, I was becoming more attuned to the stories of their past. The stories that I heard my first year kept echoing about the cruelty that was inflicted upon their people and how the effects are still very present. Clearly, many of the residents of White Earth are still hurting in their lives now because of the effects of the past. In John chapter 14, verse 22, Jesus is asked, Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world? He responds, in part, I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you all that I have said to you. The passage talks about Jesus revealing himself to us and not to the world. One way to interpret this passage is to say that Jesus will not be here in person, but rather he is in us as the Holy Spirit. And that is important because Jesus did a great deal of good while he was here, but he did not fix our world, not even remotely close. Instead, he gave us direction with all of our faults so that we may learn to become better. And that is of weight, because some of the people of White Earth are still suffering because of the pain that was inflicted upon them. They were impoverished and lacked certain tools to improve their situation. Our little church trip can't fix that pain and suffering. Again, not even remotely close. But what I've learned is that I can try to follow in Jesus' footsteps by trying my best to share his love and do good as I am capable. This summer, I will be going back for my fifth working trip to White Earth. I'm excited about it because White Earth is about helping each other, experiencing life together, and learning from one another, just as we learned from Jesus. Oh, and White Earth is also about campfires with our new friends, and of course, plenty of marshmallows for us.
So you have heard about our Creation Weekend, Episcopal Youth Quest Camp, Episcopal Youth Music Camp, Teens Encounter Christ, and our White Earth Indian Reservation mission trip. I remind you again of John's Gospel for today, line 28. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. I am going away, and I am coming to you. God's love is coming to us through experiencing others on our journey and their journey. God's love is coming to us through chance encounters when we risk opening ourselves up to new adventures. God's peace can come to us on a cold winter night under the stars. God's peace can come to us in a hot, humid summer day with new friends, music, dance, stories, drumming, prayers not heard, just seen, puppies, and of course, burnt s'mores. That thing called the way, the truth, and the life can be experienced when we open our hearts to possibility. Opening our heart to possibility. I mean, it can't hurt to try. And we might just all go crazy if we do. Thank you. Amen.